Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Carried up Bison, 2-on-1 on entry. J.J. Paterka fires and scores! Early goal here in the second, it's 4-1 Buffalo.
J.J. Paterka on the move to Utah, the Mammoth. And he gets a 5-year deal, $7.7 million per year. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's got 100 holes this morning. Sal Capaccio was in. And we got news to talk about. We got full phone lines. We'll start rolling through your calls. Right before we get to calls, though, we were talking in the break about like the contract and whether that's, like I said earlier, that's a deal I would have been very happy with to see the Sabres sign him to. He signs in Salt Lake City, Utah. He doesn't go to a big market at all. He goes to a team where it's even really hard to argue, like, if the winning part of it is what really matters to you, I'm not saying they are worse off than the Sabres for this, in like a belief of winning from a player. But they didn't make the playoffs last year. They were fine. They had 89 points, the Utah did last year. 89 points. But you didn't go to Florida or Tampa. You know, you didn't go to some perennial winner. You went to a team that was bad when they were in Arizona, and then they moved, and then they were pretty good, but they weren't a playoff team. So you didn't go to a perennial winner. You didn't go to a big market or big, you know, you didn't go to a big city. Was it? How much of it was about the money?
I think a lot of it was. I believe that if the Sabres had offered this contract to J.J. Paterka, he'd be a Buffalo Sabre today. That's what I believe. I don't know that. And to me, that means that Kevin Adams just didn't feel that that was the value for this player.
And if that is true, man, I would have a lot of feelings about that that are not positive.
I mean, or he could feel, no, I could have offered him that, but I don't want a guy who just doesn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. As we listen to him talk the way he talks, and said, look, I could pay him that.
Just for the money?
But I'm not. What did he say? I do think it's a very, very telling quote from the press conference the other day. He said, we could play it. I think, do you have it there? Could you play that, Josh? Could you play the quote? He said something about paying a player and it's not always going to make a player happy or something like that. Do you have that? Let's play this right here. All right. Josh is going to fire it up here. Here we go.
Paying someone more money, hoping that they'll make them happy, isn't usually a recipe for success. You know, you have to have players that buy into and believe what you're doing and wake up every day in Buffalo excited to be a Sabre. I think that's important. Saying that, are there hard conversations with times or players at times frustrated?
I think it's important to note here, to me, like, I guess I should say, I think what he's saying is, I could pay J.J. Paterka what he wants and he'll sign it. I don't think that helps our team because he's not going to be happy here and we're dealing with this.
Man,
And I'm not telling you it's the right approach.
No,
I think
right.
It's his approach.
I think he's got the wrong approach if that's the case. You are Buffalo. You are the Buffalo Sabres. Come on, man. Even if that were true, you only have so many avenues to get talented players and to keep talented players. And there would be a lot of players that wouldn't even take your money. You could go offer Mitch Marner $15, $16 million a year, and he probably will say no to you. If a guy wants to come to your team because you're willing to overpay, this is professional sports. That happens every single day, and it works sometimes. Not all the time. Mario Williams came for $100 million. He was really good for the first 3 years. He was awesome. Sure, he loved the deer in Jim Kelly's backyard, but why'd he come? He came for $100 million. And he was good. Like, that happens. They cannot close themselves off to... They can't close themselves off to, well, not only do I only want players that want to be here, I only want players that want to be here because of the culture and the logo. I mean, you will never get a good roster doing it that way. All right, let's roll through some phone calls. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll start the hour off with John in Atlanta. Morning, John.
Hey, I know you guys got a lot of calls, so I'll try to be pretty quick here. This trade is terrible. Kevin Adams should be ashamed. He says that he doesn't listen to the, you know, to the radio, but he's just as bad a liar as he is a GM. A real team just tells JJ Paterka, you know, deal with it. We'll go into the summer. And then, you know, they come to a conclusion and then people forget about it in 12 months. So being in Atlanta and all the news coming out around like Houston and Atlanta getting expansion teams has really started to make me think that, you know, maybe actually the best case scenario long-term for this franchise is kind of like a Cleveland Browns situation where they move the team and just start fresh with a new owner, new everything, because the current iteration of the owner that doesn't want to spend money and the rink manager, roller dog GM is not working. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen. The Sabres are not going to move, and then Buffalo gets another different team.
And it's not the best case scenario for the Buffalo Sabres to move. Sorry.
Right. Well, he's saying not get another team. He's trying to weasel your way into an expansion draft. What you're trying to do. Yeah.
I know you're frustrated, but that's just. No.
Yeah.
We do have somebody who actually thinks this is a good trade for the Sabres who tweeted at me.
Okay.
Thomas writes in at Sal Sports, by the way, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Thomas says they absolutely are better. They got exactly what they desperately needed on the blue line and traded Jeff Skinner's little brother, a guy that can't win one-on-one battles.
All right. They did that. And who's going to play in their top six now? Sure, they might be tougher to play against. Who's going to play in their top six? Who's going to score? Let's go through it real quick before we get back into phone calls. Tage is a top six player. Yep, every day of the week. Tuck, top six player. Am I just forgetting the raw? Josh Norris. Okay? Injury-prone Josh Norris. Top six player. That's three. Who's the next name I should mention here? Am I missing somebody obvious?
I'm trying to look. I'm going.
Who is a legitimate top six player on this roster? I can't be done at Yuri Kulik.
I mean, right now,
he has to be.
I mean, he's got to play there. Maybe. I mean, do you consider him that? I guess. I mean, you could
on a good team. I think that he's a third liner with the potential to be a second liner. Mm-hmm. But on this team right now, he's penciled in.
Is Benson isn't there, right?
That's the thing. You are addressing
Ryan McLeod.
I mean, Ryan McLeod, you want him to be a third line center.
Right.
That's the thing. You are addressing a need here. You're getting another defenseman who looks to be pretty good, and you're adding another forward that is good defensively that makes you tougher to play against. You're sacrificing an important piece off your first or second line that you do not have a replacement for right now. And that's where you've said, like, they got to get it now. They got to go get it via a Byram trade, or maybe they have to do it in free agency. But they cannot walk into the season without even trying to fill the hole that they just made. Because I think they just made a big hole.
It is possible to come out on the on a really good end after this trade, like on the better end. You come out on the other side better.
But it requires
another move to replace losing JJ, because I think you did, as you say, fill other areas where you needed. That said, they're going to trade Bo Byram too, though, most likely.
They are, and I really do wonder what they're going to get for him. I don't know how much confidence to really have that. I don't know how much confidence to have that they're going to get a Paterka level player back for Byram. I mean, maybe they could, but Paterka was a weird one. Five on five offense. It was elite level production. The shots he generated, the shot attempts he generated, the puck possession, like, he was an elite 5-on-5 scorer. He was bad on the power play. And that was important because their power play has stunk, and he's bad defensively. So I'm not telling you he was a perfect player. But 5-on-5 offense is a really important part of your team, huge part of your team. And I think they have a lot of work to do to to fill that with whatever this Byram trade ends up being or what they do in free agency. Back to the phones, we'll go to Justin in Rochester. Morning, Justin.
Hey, guys. I feel like I'm living in the Big Lebowski, like, shaking Terry Pegula. Where's the money, Pegula? Like, what happened to the Jeff Skinner money? I thought that was supposed to go to signing players that we've drafted and developed. And now who are we spending that money on? The conversation with Paterka should have stopped and should have started and stopped at, hey, give us 1 year, give us 40 goals, give us 40 assists, maximize your value, and we'll trade you. And instead, you get pieces. This makes no sense. Terry Pegula is a Mickey Mouse owner who hires joke of GM, who hires joke of staffing around him. This is ridiculous. This is an awful trade. It's a Mickey Mouse franchise. I just can't stand this guy.
Well, thanks, Austin, or Justin. On the Sabres cap situation, so right now they have $20.8 million in cap space after making those deals, this deal overnight. They are, 14th in the league with the most available space. They actually are kind of in the middle. But some of those teams have more guys to sign than the Sabres do. With Paterka off the team, that's one guy you don't have to sign anymore. Bo Byram is the other guy you would have to sign, and they're probably going to trade him. So that's not going to be any money. Who they get for him will be interesting for this. If they bring back in the Byram trade a guy who makes $7, $8 million a year, you know, then that's a big chunk. But that would be money that would have been earmarked for Paterka or Byram in the first place. And then you have McLeod. So it's a good question. I don't even know if it's really a wonder, but I do question what their available cap space will end up being going into the season. Because going into this offseason, if it was just, hey, Byram's going to sign, and Paterka's going to sign, and McLeod's going to sign, and then Quinn and Levi will get their smaller deals. If they just sat there and signed everybody at the end of the year and didn't do anything else, they'd be a team spending to the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even argue that was a good thing, because that would be the same team. You'd be running it back. But you would be spending to the cap. And right now, what are they going to end up with? $10 million of extra unused cap room? Which, by the way, add in a $4 million buyout of Jeff Skinner. So you're spending $14 million less than a lot of teams. Or are they going to use it? Because I can look at the list right now and say, well, the Sabres do have, hey, they have less space than Carolina. Carolina is spending more,
yeah,
or is not spending more. But guess what you hear about Carolina on a daily basis? It's they are getting ready to go all in for Mitch Marner. They might have more space than the Sabres right now, but they are desperate to use it. And you don't get that vibe from the Sabres.
By the way, Skinner's buyout this year on the Sabres cap is about $4.5 million.
Yeah.
It goes to $6.5 million next year, and then finally drops down to $2.5 million for the remaining 3 years.
Okay.
So,
no, they didn't use the space that they made available for them last year by buying them out. They saved like $7 million last year, and they had about $8 million of unused cap. This year, they'll have, you know, what was the salary? $9 million. So the $4.5 million saved this year by not having him on their books. And what are they going to do? They're going to have more than $4.5 million, I bet. I bet you right now. So I don't know if they're doing anything with it. Brian in Williamsville. Morning, Brian.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shocked, surprised, and stunned with this. I mean, you're getting two players. I looked up some of their stats, and they're not really good. I know one father played in the league. I'm not sure how good the son is. The other guy I have no idea about. Defenseman, like you said, he shoots pretty well, but we're losing a 30 to 40 goal scorer a year. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be stunned if Alex wanted out of Buffalo. That would be my concern. Not only do I have a jersey of Tuck, but I am the only one in Buffalo with a C on it. I would not, and that was when Oposo got traded. So I would not be shocked if Alex Tuck wanted out of here.
I think listening to the GM, I don't think that's the case. I think that there were things that Kevin Adams did not tell us, okay, the other day. The one thing he told us, and he kind of put himself in a corner now, is we want Alex Tuck and he wants to be here, right? Like, that was basically it. So I don't think that's going to happen, Brian, to be quite honest with you. I'm reading people who know more about some of these guys than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kesselring is the key to this trade, to be honest with you.
Oh, like, totally.
Like, it's not Doan. So when he says, hey, his dad played in the league, yeah, he's a young player.
Yeah.
We'll see. He was a second-round pick, actually. Mm-hmm. High second-round pick. Kesselring was a sixth-round pick, actually. He's the key to this trade for the Sabres. And there are people who really like him and what he brings. And he is a missing piece for the Sabres lineup. I get that. I can get a little bit more of, okay, you did help yourself. Joe has brought up, though, and I agree. Someone tweeted at me and said, how do you know they're not better? I'm looking at exactly what Joe said. I don't think they're a better team today because you just created a big void and a very big spot in your lineup, which is top six.
Yep. Kesselring, if you want to feel a little better about him being here, like if you do take the Paterka end of it out, which I think you kind of have to do to feel better about this, but Kesselring, like there are good numbers. There are some good numbers about this player. And his ability on the ice, he's still a young player too. I mean, when he's been on the ice at 5-on-5 the last two seasons for Utah, well, one of those seasons, I guess, is in Arizona. So Arizona and Utah, the last 2 years when he's on the ice at even strength, his team leads 99 to 75. 99 to 75 is the score. And shot attempt number is in his favor, 54%. His team outshoots the opponent 653 to 561. That's pretty good. The expected goals is 54% last season. That's pretty good. Like, there were some good numbers last year. You go to, you know, some of those other advanced sites. Evolving Hockey is one that I like to look at. And he's, like, in the 70th percentile defensively. Like, there are some good numbers here. And above that, there's some physicality. You know, he had not a lot of hits, though, which is always the weird thing to me. Like, I've read, you know, physical, can be physical, I guess, is what I've read. So, I don't know if that satisfies people's appetite to see them be tough. I mean, he had 87 hits last year.
Not a ton. As the morning's gone on, I've seen some people a little bit more warm than I think, initial reaction in a lot of our mm-hmm. calls. Pasta Joe tweets in, thanks Pasta Joe. I like the trade. Paterka was not good without the puck, which is the most of his game.
Yeah.
He would have hated the contract the Sabres got him and said, if the Sabres had given him that contract, said, when I saw Kesselring play, he was always noticeable and fills a big void at right shot D. And I mean, I like that. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic actually said, this is a player, Kesselring, that they talked a lot about, and he talked a lot about, I think, with his podcast with Chris Baker. And they really like Kesselring, like that part of the deal. So, you know, and I'm guessing Paul, I don't know. We haven't talked to Paul yet. Paul has been saying for a while, like, they got to get better in that area, not as much the mm-hmm. Paterka area. So we'll see. There are more people warming up to it, though, as I read.
Here's some more numbers on Kesselring from NHL Edge, which is the new, like, player tracking site. Speed bursts over 20 miles per hour. He hit 20 miles per hour 115 times last season. The average in the NHL is 29. He did it 115 times. So he's in the 96th percentile. He is fast. And that's one thing, just watching this morning, like a 5-minute, you know, shift by shift, you know, view of this player. The thing that I noticed immediately is, oh, he skates really well. Like, he's a very fast skater. His top shot speed last year was 103.7 miles per hour, 99th percentile. Honestly, Tage might be the only one that had a harder shot last season. So we talked about the shot. Shots on goal, he was in the 91st percentile. Again, the skating part of it is really the thing. Looking through all these like skating player tracking stats, like he is fast. So big and
that
fast.
That is an area the Sabres have wanted to concentrate on the last couple of years. Right. Ryan McLeod was a big reason
for
that.
Yeah, like he's a player I do, like, just the more research I do on him, the more I am liking him. Mm-hmm. But I don't see myself getting to a place where I feel like he was worth JJ Paterka. 803-0550, the phone number. Andrew in Pittsburgh before we hit the break. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I know they got positions they need, but the value is just not there. It's amazing how confident Adams can be, and I'm kind of surprised, you know, the league, when they've had bad owners before, have stepped in. You know, when does the league step in and do something about the Pegula's incompetence? You know, they helped out Ottawa with bad ownership, fought for Arizona for decades, but they just let Buffalo's owner continually make a mess. Thanks, guys.
I mean, we're talking about totally different scenarios and situations. They step in when there's like issues with ownership and arenas and cities, and not because you don't like hockey trades.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't happen. You don't get teams leagues stepping in because the team can't compete. You might want it, but the Pittsburgh Pirates have been bad for 40 years or something. Has Major League Baseball ever stepped in and done anything about it? When do they step in? They step in when there are financial problems.
Right, that's what I mean.
Or like there are arena
Ottawa
problems.
Or whatever the situation, Arizona.
The owner gets arrested.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when it happens. I don't think you will ever get that. No. The league might root for it to turn around. I'm sure they do.
Oh, I think they would love I think they would love this market to be hot.
Right. The only thing, and there's been nothing about this here. And this is the key difference. Last year, Gary Bettman went to Winnipeg because they were having attendance problems, big attendance problems. I think there's a lot of financial problems in Winnipeg. And it was a little threatening. The statements that were coming out and him just being there in the first place, like, this can't continue kind of mentality from the league about Winnipeg. Like, you guys can't not show up. But the key difference there was the team was good and the fans weren't showing up. Again, might not be their fault. I mean, there have been financial stuff there, I guess. But fans weren't showing up. And here, like, so that would be Bettman's going there to kind of get a greater picture of why this is happening. Why are fans not going to those games? Why were ticket sales down despite the fact the team was number one in the NHL? Because that would be more of, listen, if you guys are going to be really good and this market can't support this team, that's when we step in. Here, there's no mystery. He would know. The only reason they're not showing up is because the team's not good. The moment the team gets good, Bettman's not dumb. He knows. The moment the team is good, everyone will come back. It's got to happen. But if you're on hold, stay there. We'll keep rolling through some phone calls. Paterka to Utah. There was a couple football things I wanted to get to a little bit later on with Sal, but we'll keep rolling through phone calls as long as they're coming. So, but there was some collusion NFL stuff this week that came out. Pablo Torre was reporting on it. I want to get to that a little bit later. But more on Paterka for Michael Kesselring and Josh Doan when we come back here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, looks like the rain has held out. It's still raining a little bit here in the North Towns. South Towns looks okay. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is doing 100 holes at Wanaka. You can still donate, by the way. Give.roswellpark.org. Or you could just Google 100 holes of golf, and you'll see it there. And there's a search bar. You could find Jeremy there. That's another way to donate. Plus, we have the 11-day power play tonight, fundraising season. And that's an easy one, too. Just go to 11daypowerplay.com and search Team WGR, and you can donate to our campaign there. Before we get back to calls on JJ Paterka, it's Joe DiBiase. Sal Capaccio's in for Jeremy. Last night was the NBA draft, and the Dallas Mavericks had the number one overall pick. They selected Cooper Flagg from Duke, who's supposed to be a stud, like a star player. The Mavericks fans at their own draft party were still chanting "Fire Nico." Fair? Foul? Is it? Should they be over it because they got the number one pick? Should they still be mad? I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting them to, on the night they draft their new star, to still be like, still want the GM gone. Get him out of here.
No, I mean, they are still very, very, very upset. They traded their cornerstone franchise player who was an absolute fan favorite.
Yep.
And they're, that doesn't...
They're not going to
You
get
got the
it.
Number one pick. You didn't go trade for Cooper Flagg and some, you know, couple second rounders. You had the number one pick kind of gifted to you through a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
You made that, every GM would have made that pick. So it's not that you did this.
Right.
You didn't make a move that, oh, okay.
No, you had an idea here.
No.
Right. Some ping pong balls fell your way.
They're still very, very mad.
Definitely.
About the Luka trade.
Yeah. They probably will be for a long time. I mean, they could even be great this year and still. I mean, if they're amazing and go to the conference finals and lose to Luka, they're going to be furious.
Yeah.
Furious. Anyways, Paterka traded to Utah. The Mammoth. Do you like their logo, by the way?
Oh, I got to look it up.
The new logo, they announced it like a week ago. How about the team name, too? They settled on Mammoth because Yeti, there was like trademark issues with. So they went with Mammoth instead.
I don't love their logo.
No? It's got it's like a mammoth head, but it's got mountains on the top of the head. Kinda.
I'm getting a little bit of slug vibes.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's just it looks a little robotic-y to me.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I also don't like that they're going with a black jersey. Or dark, is it dark navy even? That's part of the part of the point, though.
I mean, it depends on which logo you're actually talking about. They do have a few that they unveiled.
Oh, there's only one official one. This is the one I'm sure you're looking at.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Because I kind of do like the other ones. By the way, here you go.
Like the concept ones?
Yeah. Right?
I kind of like that better, too. They wanted to incorporate the mountains, though. I understand that. Paterka to Utah. What's next? Tage to Houston? Sorry, I didn't need to throw that out in the universe. It's not going to happen. We're good. They're just going to make the playoffs. They're just going to make the playoffs and everything's going to be fine, right? Right? Let's go to the phones. Dennis in Lockport's next up. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. Good show. I'm going to say it right here. When they start getting these other markets for this hot NHL, don't be surprised if Pegula just moves our team out of here, because he's been there for 14, 15 years. He told us when he came here, I'm a hockey guy. He doesn't know nothing about hockey. Maybe about a T-shirt and a logo. That's when his wife and him were really good. That's all they ever sold. But Kevin Adams got on WGRZ, told people that when they were talking about the draft, Paterka was authored right on TV. This is a couple days ago. And you guys have been announcing it. He basically called the media a bunch of liars. Oh, they're just making up stuff. No. He's the liar. He's not putting any team together. He wants fans in the stands. All Pegula wants is all the property he owns downtown, and he's got a winner with the Bills making him a lot of money. He could care less about the Sabres, because if he actually did want to, he was a hockey guy, he would have put something into it, get the right management to take care of that team and make it a winner like it used to be. I mean, there was a time – there wasn't where the Sabres didn't make the playoffs, at least. We may not have went all the way through, but we were at least in the conversation for playoffs every year until after Regis left. And after that, it's been nothing but downhill under Pegula's ownership.
All right. So
I'm going to leave it at that.
Thanks, Dennis, for the call. The point about – I don't even know. There was a lot there.
I pretty much disagree with pretty much everything he said. And I mean by that, like, he's not moving the team.
No.
He's not looking to move the team. I mean, could he see a scenario where the team gets sold at some point someday? Sure. There's been a lot of rumors about that. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. He's not moving the team. You could be very upset at how the team is run or owned or whatever. I get it. I think you're confusing, Dennis, unless I'm wrong. I could be wrong here. Maybe Kevin Adams did something separate on Channel 2. I think he's talking about the press conference, and maybe he watched it on Channel 2.
Maybe.
And it was the press conference where we aired it, and he said, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I feel bad for my fans, for our fans.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking specifically, I think, more about maybe the Matias Samuelson situation. So, yeah.
See, he was, but I really do wonder how much of that was misguided anger from Paterka reporting. Because I just can't believe, I still can't believe from 2 days ago, 3 days ago now, that he thought fans were angry or are upset because they're reading on Twitter that the team might get rid of one of their least favorite players, Samuelson. after it was a question about Paterka, and there was a lot of reporting about Paterka. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that was maybe the source of it, but hey, a lot of it ended up being true, right? Like, maybe not every exact detail happened. There was a report about Chicago considered offering the third pick. It didn't say that they were going to trade the third pick. There was a report, two reports, Frank Seravalli and Renaud Lavoie at the trade deadline, that a deal with the Rangers was close. That might have been gravely exaggerated, but it planted the seed that night of this is a player that could get traded. And months later, it ended up happening. So how much of it really ended up being untrue? Seravalli said earlier in the week that his expectation was he'd get traded by Friday. Well, he got traded by Friday. So misinformation, whatever. You know, like, it again was just not the right note to hit at that point in time. And, you know, to get back to the Paterka trade, though, about this and where they were, their stance, and how the deal ends up happening, I still think the biggest problem here, more than even the players they got back, because I do like things I'm hearing and reading about both the players they got back, but it is the idea that they traded for two players that were not worth J.J. Paterka when they did not have to do it. I don't think they needed to act like this needed to happen this second. That it was we got to deal him. That this is a problem. The player wants out. I think you gotta have a little bit more of a backbone. You got to be willing to tell the guy, I have the leverage here, and I don't need to trade you. They must. There's one thing missing here. They either believe these players are far more valuable than I do or a lot of other people that are covering the league. Or they just felt like they needed to trade him. And if that's the part that I can't understand, if that's the truth of it, is they knew they weren't getting enough value for him, but they just needed to trade him. They felt like they needed to get him out of here. Because it was bad PR or something. Just be reading every day about a player that doesn't want to be here. I don't know.
I think at some point, like, if you decide we might have to do this, you kind of have to resign yourself to the fact that we're probably not going to get the true value for him. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're not winning the trade. So you do as best you can with doing that. And it looks like they got good, serviceable, good players here who can help this team.
But you're not even giving yourself a chance to maybe somebody does eventually come at you with a better hockey trade of a one-for-one, or maybe somebody is willing to go Paterka and Byram, or Paterka and another piece for their player. Like, those are the only deals I would have ever moved them for. And again, I like these players. Kesselring looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't think the value is there. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, we'll keep rolling through phone calls. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton in the 8 o'clock hour and then Matt Bove in the 9 o'clock hour. So, a lot to get to. Stay tuned. Paterka traded to Utah. Hopefully the weather clears up a little bit. You might have woke up to a rainy morning and the news of this trade. Hopefully the sun comes out. For the team, too, here on WGR. Welcome back, Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy at 100 holes at Wanaka. He is two birdies in, I believe, still. J.J. Paterka traded overnight. Maybe you're just waking up to that news. Everyone's going to be waking up at different times and finding out if you weren't up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Let's go back to the phones quickly to go to Derek and Guelph. Morning, Derek.
Hey, good morning, guys. Apologize for the voice, fighting a bit of a cold here. Just first want to say, as a Canadian, love the people of Buffalo, Western New York, United States. And it saddens me that after 20 years, I canceled my season tickets this year. You know, I loved going down. I loved the people, going to cobblestones. But I just couldn't take it anymore. I felt like my only voice was my money. And my money had to talk, and I just couldn't do it. And hearing the news this morning just reaffirms my opinion, you know. I just don't know what's going on. As the old Pee-wee coach, how do you replace goals? I get they got to be better defensively, but I just don't agree. And it saddens me that, you know, I'm not going down to games this year.
Yeah, I like this call because a couple of things. I think you speak for a lot of people who are frustrated in a lot of ways, and some people have kind of exited their timeline and at different times. Some are still there, and some are still going, and it's just going to be what they always do and have belief and hope that they'll get better. That's fine. But I think the part is that you just touched on, how do you replace goals? Joe, you made a really good observation to me when there was an Evolving Wild stat and chart that came out, and I retweeted it and said, this makes me feel a little bit better. That, you know, this person says, okay, he's that bad here, so don't pay him that money. The issue I have is, oh, he's 23. He's 23. Mm-hmm. And you can still develop that part of the game. I've made the point the last couple of weeks about freaking Sam Bennett holding the cup up. And I'm like, oh, you can't believe this guy's only 28. Mm-hmm. He's been in the league 11 years. Like, it takes a while for this to happen. Anyway, you could, what you said off the air, you could say on the air about, it doesn't matter. The offense is so much more important, basically.
The offense is more important, and... like even if you go to his player card on their site, Evolving Hockey, and it's like the 96th percentile offensively and the second percentile defensively, like as bad as you could be defensively and as good offensively. And what does it all come to on the overall? 82 out of 100. Because the offense matters. And that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. And it's just that one player card. It's not like even the number, like it's, that's just goals above replacement.
Is this... but-
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Kind of the same, the kind of a running back, or I'm sorry, a running game debate in the NFL. Like, a
little
how,
bit.
How much does it really matter? And then you have people go, it doesn't matter at all. Just throw the ball all over the place and score.
A little bit.
Right?
I do think it matters some, but right, not as much as I think you got to be able to score goals. And I think this team, this is a continuation of a belief from them since they missed the playoffs by 1 point that. You can't win that way. That they have to be better defensively. They have to be tougher to play against. And I don't disagree with that. It just, it too often is coming at the expense of really good offensive talent. They missed the playoffs by 1 point without being able to play defense all year or get any saves. And their decision was, well, we can't play that way anymore. Rather than just, hey, maybe get a goalie that makes a couple of more saves and you're in. It was, we need to change completely the style in which we play hockey. And to me, this trade last night is a continuation of that. That they don't think they can end this playoff drought just by scoring. And I feel like that's the wrong approach. I feel like you're just trying to add to the scoring, not take it away so that you can go add the tougher to play against element in exchange for it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in the 8 o'clock hour. Lots of phone calls to roll through as well. I mean, really, it's more a question of how angry are you? Because we haven't had much defense for it. We had one tweet that we read from somebody that liked the trade, but otherwise...
I'm getting a few more here and there.
A couple?
I am getting a few more here and there.
But it definitely feels like the majority is happy this morning waking up to this news.
This is actually a good... I know we got to go to break. I will read this one from Paul that came in. I like this sentiment from Paul. Thank you, Paul. He says... Sabres got a good right-handed D with size and toughness, which is needed, but I think they could have gotten more. Maybe swap first-round picks 4 for 9. I like that sentiment, which is, hey, you did improve where you needed to improve, but maybe you didn't get to quite the value what this player should have gotten you in return. And I don't think that's a unfair take at all.
Yeah. 803-0550, the phone number here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.